Chapter 4. Saw Talgron hated the zealotry. He hated the metaphysical need that seemed gene-coded into his battle brothers. There was a new and desperate hunger in the Legion to believe in something more than the struggle and pain and torment that was mortal existence. But that was what life was. One bloody task after another until death finally came to claim you. Why did there need to be anything more to it than that? Why this insatiable need for meaning? For faith? It was a weakness, he believed. A failing. Something the Legion had inherited from Lorgar Aurelian, and Saw Talgron almost hated his Primarch for that. He was awed by him, and would not hesitate to sacrifice his life for him, of course, but he almost hated him nonetheless. He did not know why he did not have the same ingrained compulsion as his brothers. Perhaps the failing was his. If he had spoken of this to anyone, even his subordinates, they would not understand. They would have despised him. No doubt an athame would have come for him soon after. Just another purge. He had felt something like a kinship with the custodian sentinel, Tiber Acanthus, more perhaps than he had with his closest battle brothers, and that relationship had been built upon lies. What did that make him? The Stormbird rose from below and hovered before him, powerful downthrusters screaming and blowing up dust. It rotated, its assault ramp lowering. He held the Legion standard now, and the heavy, blood-soaked cloth whipped like a sail before the assault craft's jets. He stepped up onto the terrace's marble balustrade and into the assault craft's interior, ignoring the 40-meter drop that would have claimed him had the pilots been unable to hold it steady. Dal'ak and two squads of legionaries stepped over the gap behind him, boots maglocking onto the assault ramp with barely conscious thought impulses. Some legionaries hated those moments of being packed into a Stormbird or a drop pod or Cestus ram, being hurtled into the thick of the fighting, relinquishing control over their fate to the pilots, the driver, or to pure luck. Saw Talgron was not one of them. If they were shot down or obliterated before they reached their target, then such was the way of it. That made him feel calm. If something were to happen, he had no control over it. Let what will happen, happen. Today, however, he did not feel comfortable within the confines of the Stormbird. The walls seemed to close in upon him like an oubliette. He moved through the ship, past the banks of assault harnesses and weapons caches, moving into the cockpit. The two flight officers, sitting back to back, acknowledged his presence with restrained nods. The two pilot servitors, seated to the front, had drool hanging from their blue lips like white gruel. Their pallid flesh twitched. Beyond the cockpit, the city of Massilia was tinged grey-green by the lighting and tinted filters of the curved armourglass shell. Hologrammatic overlays were projected before the lead pilot, delivering the flight officers a wealth of data, while detailed topographical maps, rendered in three dimensions, hovered before the co-pilot. The green lines of the overlays looked warped and strange from Saw Talgron's angle. Additional information would be there too, he knew, visible to the flight officers alone. He braced himself, holding on to overhead railings. To aft, the assault ramp sealed and the Stormbird lifted, banking sharply towards the west, wingtips pointing towards the heavens and the ground as it turned. Saw Talgron remained rooted in place, maglocks keeping his boots clamped to the deck. They swung over the librarium, jutting up from the rock below, all flames, smoke, and dirty white marble. Then they were hurtling over the city, the ruins whipping by below them. They dropped altitude as they exited the city, pulling in low over the turquoise river, kicking up twin walls of spray in their wake. They ate up the kilometers, following the twisting cliffs lining the river. They crossed deep azure waters as the river fed into a lake that could have been mistaken for a sea. From there, they veered over the land, screaming over the detritus of a battlefield recently won. The Legion was gone, moving from their warfront to the nearest of the drop zones. The time to leave this world was nearing, and Saw Talgron had already given the word for unengaged elements of the 34th Company to head for the muster points, ready for extraction. Burning pyres had been left in the Legion's wake, piled high with the dead. But what arrested Saw Talgron's attention were the immense armoured shells that lay scattered across the blackened earth. The field was a graveyard for Loyalist Titans. Most had been taken down with little loss to 17th Legion forces. Once the battle in the void above had been won, the Titans were easy prey for the fleet's orbital weaponry. Unsupported Titans were little more than walking death traps, and repeated lance strikes had ripped through the void shields of these enticing targets before smashing them to the ground. Only the warhounds had been swift enough to evade the devastating salvos, and from the reports that had come in, they had carved a bloody toll through the invading ground forces before they too had finally been brought low. The downed forms of half a dozen colossal mechanical giants swarmed with Mechanicum adepts and servitors. These were sects of the Martian priesthood that had thrown their lot in with the Legion and Horus's cause, and they picked over the Reaver, Warhound, and Nemesis-class engines like maggots feeding upon rotting carcasses. The Stormbird passed over a tract of strangely untouched wilderness, an island of green fir trees in an ocean of fire-blackened earth, and scattered a herd of multi-antlered quadrupeds below. Some life still flourished, it seemed, away from the main engagements. They approached one of the Legion's muster zones. Bulklanders hung low and expectant overhead, readying to pick up the heavier ground elements. Already word-bearers, rhinos and land raiders were snaking in through the rocky canyons for extraction. The Stormbird dipped its wings in salute to the warriors below, and Saw Talgron saw a lone tank commander standing in the open cupola of a Proteus raise a hand in return. They continued on to the east, sweeping up blasted hills and over smoking outlying estates and an ancient forest that had been reduced to char and embers. They passed a trio of death-dealer night gaunts, striding back along a ridge of blasted scree towards the muster point and the waiting mass lifters. The Titans were hung with kill banners and pennants. More kills would be emblazoned upon them after they were secured aboard the ugly Mechanicum ships in orbit above. Legio Mordaxis had proved its worth on the battlefield once again. The swiftly striding god machines, hunched and beetle-backed though they were, each bore ordnance capable of laying waste to entire companies. The lead Titan, its black carapace edged in yellow, swung its heavy head towards the Stormbird, passing 100 meters to its flank, and let out a world-shuddering blast of its warhorn. A greeting? A challenge? Saw Talgron did not know. The other two war machines let out their own ululating, booming cries, and then they were past them, angling towards the ice-capped mountain range looming on the horizon, reminiscent of the towering peaks of the Imperial Palace on Terra. Saw Talgron forcibly pushed the comparison from his mind. Initial surveys of the region had revealed no enemy presence, but that had clearly been incorrect. Some form of shielding still concealed the outpost, perhaps, for Dal'ak had reported that fleet imaging and drone scans had come back with nothing. It refused to appear on any augury scan or sweep. They were going in blind. They soared through the icy peaks, locked to the blinking beacon planted by the recon squads.
"I see it,"
said the ranking flight officer. Saw Talgron leant forwards, squinting past the blinking red target marker hovering in the air. He was unable to see anything until they were right in front of it. So well concealed was the structure from the air.
"By the blood of the Urizen," said Saw Talgron. "How did Loth find it?"
"I don't know, Captain," said the officer. "Shuttles and gunships scoured this region and came up with nothing. Perhaps he got lucky."
"He gets lucky a lot, then," said Saw Talgron,
knowing that luck had nothing to do with it. Loth was the best reconnaissance operative in the company, perhaps the whole Legion. He had proved himself time and time again across a dozen campaigns and systems. A landing pad had been built into the mountainside, tucked beneath a deep overhang. The Stormbird came in under the protruding stone shelf. A 17th Legion lander was already there, and legionaries stood awaiting his arrival. A shuttle in the blue of the 13th Legion was tucked further back. Saw Talgron's vox clicked. Closed channel. Dal Ak.
Captain, why would the enemy come here? Asked Dal Ak. Battle is still ongoing on several fronts. Ultramarines still live and breathe on this world. They have lost the war and have no hope of extraction. Even if this is a communication hub, why come here? There is no fleet within the system to communicate with.
The enemy are nothing if not rational. There's clearly a reason that we are not seeing, replied Saw Talgron. I want to know what it is.
Silence. Then a click as Dal Ak's voxlink closed. The Master of Signal was uneasy at Saw Talgron's decision. He knew. He had not said as much, but it was obvious nonetheless. Saw Talgron understood. Coming here in person was unnecessary. More than this, it was out of character. The Stormbird's wings adjusted as the thrusters brought it in onto the landing pad. Taloned claws clacked as they were lowered down. His unadorned standard-issue Umbra pattern bolter was locked to his thigh, and the familiar weight of his flanged mace hung on his left hip. His newly acquired Volkite pistol was holstered on his right side. Cold mountain air rushed into the Stormbird as the assault ramp opened once more. Without a word, Saw Talgron turned and strode down the length of the gunship's interior and out into the sun. Saw Talgron's expression hardened at Dorn's words.
The loyalty of the 17th has never been questioned, he said,
not even attempting to keep the anger out of his voice.
We have been accused of being overzealous in our adoration of the Emperor in the past, but never has anyone doubted our loyalty or our devotion to the Imperium.
Arcamus lifted a slate, scrolling through a swathe of data with a gesture.
You've been very active since your posting here, he said, patrolling the length and breadth of the solar system, regulated inspections to Mars and the shipyards of Jupiter and Luna, maintaining a presence within the Imperial Palace.
Such is my duty, said Saw Talgron, interrupting.
His expression was thunderous.
If you have something you wish to accuse me of, then just come out and say it. Stop dancing around the issue.
Arcamus put the data slate down on the table.
Where have you been these last 2 months? He said.
This is an interrogation now, my lord, said Saw Talgron,
pointedly looking away from Arcamus to address Rogel Dorn. The Primarch's expression was unreadable, and he said nothing.
Not unless you have something you wish to conceal, said Arcamus.
A dangerous stillness had settled over Rogel Dorn like a mantle. Saw Talgron felt his diamond-hard eyes boring into him.
Battle Captain Garrow, said the Primarch finally. I know you have important matters to attend to. I thank you for your time. You may leave us.
Garrow slammed his fist into his chest once more and bowed to Lord Dorn. Casting a last glance towards Saw Talgron, he walked from the room. The door clicked shut behind him. Rogel Dorn continued to stare at Saw Talgron.
Where were you? He said. I journeyed to the Shrine of Unity, as I am sure you are already aware, Saw Talgron growled.
He raised his eyebrows at Arcamus.
Satisfied?
The comet, said the Master of Huskarls. For what purpose?
Saw Talgron looked him squarely in the eyes.
I went there to set things right, he said.
Explain, said Dorn.
Saw Talgron's reluctance to do so was clear. The shrine was a potent symbol of Imperial strength and unified purpose. It had been carved into an immense comet that routinely swung back into the solar system several times every 1,000 years, tracking an irregular elliptical route around the sun. In millennia past, when its trajectory was stable and more accurately predicted, it had worn a different name. But what it was had been lost in the murky fog of time. The comet had been seen in the heavens when the Emperor had won the unification wars on Terra, and it was for his victory that the shrine had been created. Sor Talgron was unwilling to speak before outsiders, but Dorne's expression was unforgiving and demanded an answer.
In the past, the 17th Legion has exhibited traits that were decreed to be at odds with the secular nature of the Imperium, said Sor Talgron.
He lowered his eyes as he recalled the rebuke that his legion had suffered at Monarchia. The pain of it still festered within him, though he had never been a devout soul by any regards. That he did not want to speak these words aloud was plain as his anger at being forced to recount his legion's shame.
The legion has seen the error of its ways, he said.
And the comet?
The comet's orbit will see it return through the solar system in a matter of years. I was ordered to remove certain edifications that had been erected upon the comet before it did so.
The Primarch snorted.
My little brother can be such a fool, he said.
Lorgar built a temple deifying the Emperor on the Shrine of Unity, didn't he?
Said Arcamus, catching up a moment later.
Before Monarchia. You were there to tear it down before anyone found out.
Anger surged through Sor Talgron at the casual mention of his Primarch's name and the disdain in the Imperial Fist's tone, and it took all his will to hold it in check. Rogel Dorne still watched him, unblinking.
As I said Sor Talgron, meeting Dorne's gaze, the 17th has since seen the error of its ways. Already we have been shamed before all the legions. The Urizen did not wish any further embarrassment.
Sor Talgron looked at Arcamus.
Satisfied? We are not traitors. I am no traitor.
None of us believe the War Master was capable of betrayal, said Arcamus.
Sor Talgron's hands clenched into fists, and he was about to speak, but Dorne held up his hand to silence him.
Enough,
he said, an iron finality in his voice.
And Arcamus, you are wrong. Horus was always capable of these actions. I've never met a man more capable. I just did not expect him to take this path. I thought even his arrogance had a limit, but it would seem I was mistaken.
His expression was uncompromising. Anger simmered just below the surface.
I am not often mistaken.
Arcamus was glaring at Sor Talgron, as if he was responsible for his rebuke.
Lorgar is subtle, said Dorne. He chose well in posting you here.
My lord, said Sor Talgron.
In order to assure the Emperor that his very public rebuke was understood, he sent you to Terra, said Dorne. He chose well. I was sent here to bolster the Legion presence, but why you, of all his vaunted captains?
I do not know, my lord, Sor Talgron replied. Perhaps Lord Aurelian was displeased with me.
It chafes you that you are not on the front lines fighting with your brothers. I can understand that better than most, said Dorne, bitterness tinging his words. But that is not why Lorgar sent you here. This is not a punishment.
Sometimes it feels like it, my lord, said Sor Talgron.
You are a different breed from the rest of the 17th Legion. You are practical and pragmatic, where your brothers are overzealous. You are a soldier with no pretenses of being otherwise. Most of your bloodline speak like priests. It is distasteful. This is why Lorgar sent you here.
My lord, the 17th was rebuked for venerating the Emperor too deeply, said Sor Talgron. The Legion has changed.
Did you ever venerate the Emperor, Captain?
said Dawn.
My lord, I... Forgive me, I am not comfortable speaking of such things.
I do not believe that you did, Dawn continued. Your faith is in strategy and tactics. Boots on the ground and armor upon your back. Your faith lies in bolters and blood, logistics and battlefield commands. Tell me I am wrong.
Saw Talgron said nothing.
In truth, I am jealous that the 17th got you, said Dawn. You would have made a fine imperial fist.
Saw Talgron was silent, unsure how to respond.
Well, thank you, my lord,
he murmured at last. Indeed. You are the perfect captain for Lorgar to send to Terra to reassure the Emperor that all is well within the 17th.
All is well within the 17th, said Saw Talgron.
The question of your loyalty is not the reason I have brought you here, Captain, said Dawn. Let me clarify my position. There is no reason for me to regard the 17th as anything but a legion loyal to the Emperor. As you say, if anything, your legion has proven itself perhaps too loyal in the past. I do not believe you or your legion are traitors. That is not the reason why I locked down your fleet in the lunar shipyards. It is not the reason I allowed you alone to cross the palace's threshold. It is not the reason why your warriors garrisoned here have been placed under guard.
Why then?
I have to be seen to treat all the legions the same. To do otherwise would be to risk accusations of favoritism and cause more rifts between my brothers. Your warriors are not the only ones within the Imperial Palace that I have imprisoned.
Saw Talgron frowned.
What others?
The Crusader host, replied Rogel Dawn, flexing his immense fingers.
You've imprisoned them? All of them?
All of them, said Dawn.
Even those of legions you know to be loyal?
Who can say how deep this rot goes?
The legions will not like it,
said Saw Talgron, folding his arms across his chest.
Some less than others. I do not care, said Dawn. I am trying to ensure the Imperium does not fall down around us. I will do anything to ensure that it does not. Anything.
You've imprisoned the Imperial Fists who stand as part of the Crusader host, then?
Said Saw Talgron.
No. The Imperial Fists are no longer a crusading legion. Therefore, our representatives within the Preceptory have been withdrawn. We have been named the Emperor's Praetorians. It is difficult to guard the palace if we are under lock and key.
I do not disagree, though that may be seen differently by others, said Saw Talgron. It sounds like there is one rule for your fists and one for everyone else.
It is what it is, said Dawn.
And what of the 6th Legion's watch pack stationed with you?
Asked Saw Talgron.
What of those Sons of Russ? You have imprisoned them as well, then?
Dawn's face was stony.
No. They operate under orders from the Sigillite. They are exempt.
Oh, pardon my bluntness, my lord, but does not that reek of hypocrisy?
This is the way it must be.
Saw Talgron looked away, gathering his thoughts.
Well, this is all just politics, isn't it?
He said.
At a time when it has been proven that any legion could turn against the Imperium, at least theoretically, I must be seen to be proactively ensuring Terra's security, while also walking a fine line to keep the loyal legions together, said Dawn. Yes, this is a political decision.
The Primarch gave him a moment to let that sink in.
You are angry, he said finally. I understand that. You return to Terra to find your legionaries imprisoned. Any leader would be angry.
As you say,
said Saw Talgron. In a perfect universe, I would have no need to lock up loyal legionaries that could be of use garrisoning the palace should the worst possibility eventuate, said Dorne. This is not a perfect universe.
So what happens next? Asked Saw Talgron.
Your garrison will be released and transported back to your fleet. The locks on your ships will be lifted. You will join them in orbit, and then you will leave. By the time tomorrow dawns, there will be no member of the Wordbearer's Legion within the solar system. Your time here has come to an end.
My lord.
Seven other legions will join my retribution fleet in mustering upon the Istvan system, said Dorne. You will be there too, and will take the fight to the Warmaster.
The primogenitor of the Imperial Fists was not known to be as unpredictable as some of his brothers, but he was undoubtedly one of the most powerful beings in creation, and Saw Talgrom was not familiar with his disposition and humours. He chose his words carefully.
With respect, my lord, my orders were to maintain a 17th Legion presence in the solar system, said Saw Talgrom. They came from Lord Aurelian himself. I cannot disobey his command.
Consider Lorgar's orders overruled, said Dorne. This is an honor, Captain. You will be a part of the battle that will set things right.
No, it is merely politically convenient to send me away, Saw Talgrom countered. If I take the 34th to join the muster, will that not leave Terra more vulnerable?
The Imperial Fists have been named as the Emperor's Praetorians, said Arcamus. It is our duty to protect Terra.
An invasion fleet could be on its way here now, said Saw Talgrom. If that is the case, you will have need of my legionaries.
Our duty, not yours, Arcamus repeated.
Saw Talgrom met the Imperial Fist's glare with one of his own.
You would let your own pride put Terra in jeopardy, he said.
Arcamus's blade was half out of its scabbard when Dorne slammed his fist down into the centre of the table. He pulled the blow. If he hadn't, the table would have been nothing but splinters scattered across the length of the chamber.
Enough, he said.
He did not raise his voice. He did not have to. Arcamus sheathed his sword, though his face remained murderous.
This will end where it began, said Dorne. At Istvan.
If I was a traitor, you'd be sending me into the hands of your enemy unharmed, said Saw Talgrom.
I have enough legionaries incarcerated here as it is.
With all respect, my lord, I believe this is a mistake.
Your protestations are noted, Captain, said Rogaldorn. Noted and ignored. You are leaving Terra, but there is one last matter for us to discuss. The 17th's representative within the Crusader host.
Volkar Reth, said Saw Talgrom.
Surely you cannot doubt where his loyalties lie.
No. He is perhaps the only other member of the Crusader host that I do not doubt. It is one of the reasons why I am releasing him into your custody. One more loyal legionary to join the muster.
And one less to guard here within the walls of the palace, said Saw Talgrom. One less potential enemy within.
That too, said Dorne, steepling his fingers before him.
He will be appreciative, my lord, said Saw Talgrom, bowing his head. A legionary should face his fate on the battlefield, not linger in a prison cell.
The Primarch nodded.
He will be isolated from the others. They cannot know that he is being released. I will arrange for him to be transferred to a different holding location. Less security. You'll be granted clearance. Would that I could be rid of them all as easily,